Welcome to the Book Smarts Business Podcast, conversations with business expert authors to learn about the author, their expertise, and to help you find your next read. And now, here's your host, best-selling author and CEO of Influence Network Media, Jody Brandsetter.
Melanie, welcome to the Book Smarts Business Podcast. I'm so excited to talk about culture impact with you. So before we dive in, let's talk a little bit about who you are. So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Absolutely. So my name is Dr. Melanie Rodriguez. I am based in Houston, Texas, and I am an executive coach, and I work on leadership development and inclusion with people and companies across the country. So I have the honor of getting to work with mid and senior career executives on everything from how they lead to how they build their teams and what inclusion looks like in that spectrum. So I'm so honored to be here today and am so glad to have been a part of this book. It's been an amazing process.
I always like to know a little bit more about your entrepreneur journey. So what got you to say yes to becoming a coach and kind of diving into that world?
Oh, absolutely. So I was in corporate for a really long time. I have been doing talent management work for a little over 19 years now. I was in a Fortune 100 company in the oil and gas sector for many of those years. And it's one of those companies, all-encompassing type umbrella type of company that has all of the functions, all of the services, all that good stuff. And I was lucky enough with that company to do talent management from all aspects of what that looked like, everything from thinking about the onboarding process and performance management. And the biggest piece of it that I was really drawn to was around leadership development and thinking about how developing people around the world really impacted their careers over the years. So I got into coaching through that work, doing both coaching from an internal perspective and thinking about what performance coaching and development coaching really looks like, and also as part of those leadership development programs, and then really got into having conversations with people externally because I love coaching so much. I started doing it kind of in parallel with my career, outside of the company as well, and eventually took off. That business took off and became my full-time piece.
I love hearing that it was a side hustle that then transitioned into like that full-time opportunity for you. Because I think a lot of people feel like they have to just jump in to being an entrepreneur when actually you have an option where you can do that side hustle, see if it works well. And if it works well, you move forward with it.
Exactly. Exactly. And it gives you a little bit of cushion to make sure that it is something that you're really passionate about, that you understand all the work that goes into it. Because it's a lot of back end that you have to deal with as well, but it's all worth it in the end. And the opportunity to really work in a space that you're passionate about, work with, in my case, I get to work with people across industries and different types of companies, big and small. And it's just a totally different perspective. And I love it.
Yeah. I feel like you almost have to have an MBA just to run your own business, because especially as like a solopreneur or a very small company, you have to do it all. Like, you are it. And so it's a lot to understand. So like you said, kind of starting really small, like micro small, and then understanding what that back office looks like for you and your business, and then being able to either find your tribe who helps you manage your company to learning how to do it yourself, and then figuring out how to make that work is, I think, one of the hardest parts of being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So you kind of took the same, in my opinion, the same kind of philosophy with this book. So you joined a collective book. You're with, you know, 11 other amazing authors. And so you got to, you know, kind of maybe really dive into being an author, but in a different way. I would love to know why you decided to join Culture Impact. You know, what kind of motivated you to take this step?
Absolutely. So I was really excited about hearing just about the book collective in general. So I know that Melanie, the other Melanie, also has a series of collectives that have come out all on different topics. And I had the opportunity to just kind of preview some of the other things that are going on and see some of the great work and the good, the way that they all come together very naturally. And so when she and I began talking about this book around culture impact and thinking about the different perspectives of how organizational culture is really influenced and impacted by so many different things, it was a great opportunity to really bring a different perspective. And so as somebody who has been in corporate from the lens of being an internal consultant and now working as an external consultant, specifically thinking about my chapter is around inclusion. So thinking about what inclusive leadership looks like from both angles and how it all comes together is a great lens to bring to the table when I know that the other chapters are so dedicated to thinking about, you know, growing and creating what these organizational cultures can look like. I think it's important to also consider what's the leader role in that and how do you make sure that you're continuing to expand both how you lead as an individual, but then how you bring other people along with you as part of that in thinking about what the culture of your organization really needs to look like.
So I feel like there's probably like a million different definitions of inclusive leadership. So what is your definition? Like, what do you see as an inclusive leader?
Oh, that is, you have to read the book. No, I'm kidding. I think that, so you're right. And one of the things that I call out as part of this chapter is just that, right? There's so many different ways of looking at what inclusive leadership looks like. And part of the conversation that I tend to have with folks is that right now there is so much going on within society and within different parts of various industries that diversity, equity, and inclusion and belonging now are really a hot topic. And companies are talking about it across the board. And it's become kind of a buzzword where society is pushing or companies to have statements around diversity, equity, and inclusion, and to make sure that they are, you know, have a statement of some sort. But for some companies, having that statement is where it ends. And, you know, they put it on the wall and it's hunky dory or whatever it might look like, right? But the idea of inclusive leadership is really taking that statement and taking that DEI training that you're required to go to, and then really putting it into play and thinking about how, what it looks like on a day-to-day. So I talk about things like, how do you really show up and what does the presence look like from a leadership standpoint? And how are you making sure that you are, as a leader, both open to hearing different perspectives and that you are welcoming, like that you're giving off that persona of being a somebody who can be trusted to be open to different things. I also talk about what it means to have a systems mindset from an inclusive perspective, right? So thinking about when you're going through different business type of courses or, you know, thinking about the bottom line, system thinking is one thing from an ROI standpoint, for example. But if you think about it from an inclusive standpoint, what inclusive leadership and system thinking really go hand in hand in thinking about everything on the people side of the business that inclusion touches, which really is everything, right? Everything from how you recruit, how you have conversations and performance discussions, how you talk to different people from about their career development, and everything in between, what the culture or the organization or just the sentiment in your company really feels like on a day-to-day. And there's so much that can happen between both how you deal with people and how you manage policy that need to be connected in order to make that organizational culture really feel like it's an inclusive place to be.
It's so interesting when you kind of added that, like how to see it from like the return on investment and then also through the lens of people management and how, you know, those do go hand in hand. Like performance equates to a better return on investment or profit. And that if you can look at DEI or inclusivity, that it is a business practice that will help elevate the business. just like being something that we should just do because it's a good thing. I think a lot of times we've talked about it, that it's just a good thing to do. And so that could be really hard for a business to be like, well, why should I do it? You know, like if I'm going to invest in this, what's my return? And so you're talking about like, this can happen. Like there is, you know, information out there or data that shows it.
Absolutely. And when the business case is just a good thing to do, it makes it feel like fluff. Like it makes it feel extra, like it's a perk to have it. When the reality is, we know that it's so ingrained in everything that's happening. It is a differentiator in the marketplace for sure. And both in how people show up, the discretionary effort that they put in, the way that they feel comfortable in, in the environments that they're working in, it's all connected.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of what we can do within culture is stuff that's outside of what technology can do. So we've seen a lot of content right now about AI and how it's going to like take all of our jobs. And when actually it should be an extension to us, it should help enhance us. But, you know, one thing I was reading was an article where it talked about, you know, there are things that humans do that technology can't. And one of them is emotional intelligence. And that I think kind of connects to inclusion. I would love to get your perspective on, you know, what you're telling your clients about this change in work with AI and tech and how important culture is within it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So AI cannot deal with people the way that we do. And it is absolutely growing extremely quickly. And I think that people who are afraid of what's to come come from a place of scarcity and a place of that limited mindset of what could potentially happen. But to your point, it's an enhancer, right? Just like the calculator is a good example that I've heard several times, right? Once the calculator was created, it's not to say that you can't do basic math anymore, but it is exponentially, pun intended, right, there to help you think about mathematical equations from a different perspective, or, you know, different scenarios from a different perspective. And I think AI is going to be an enhancer in very similar ways. It gives people in those roles the opportunity to move away from the transactional work that they have to do to get things done, to be more critical thinkers and really be able to use the information that's coming out of those systems to take a step back and think bigger picture and really expand their thinking and their knowledge about how things are interconnected, and really being able to bring more to that overall value chain rather than just sitting there crunching numbers or whatever it is that they, you know, making widgets, whatever they have to do to get it done.
So the article I read talked about critical thinking, which you just talked about, problem solving, and then emotional intelligence, and how those are three things that we need a human to be able to do. So I love that you also added critical thinking there, because I'm like, yep, that was another one I just read. But it is, we are in this really interesting time. I'm sure it's almost the same as like maybe, you know, one of the various industrial revolutions that we've had. Like, I love the calculator example. I'm sure, you know, when we were able to finally, you know, kind of have robots do some of the mechanical pieces to like automotives, that was, you know, so scary. But I think each time we've seen that we as humans are able to adapt, we're able to continue to move forward, and we're still needed in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I've loved talking to you, Melanie, and I'm sure others would love to connect with you. So what is the best way for our audience to be able to connect with you after they hear this wonderful podcast?
Well, thank you so much for asking. So I am found on LinkedIn. Absolutely. Melanie Rodriguez, PhD, is my address on LinkedIn. I also have a website, which is www.elevatelatinas.com, which is the name of my company. Those are the two main places that I hang out.
Awesome. Well, we'll add those to the notes to the podcast. But Melanie, thank you so much for being a part of the Book Smarts Business Podcast.
Thank you. And I appreciate the time today and the opportunity to be a part of this book. I'm so excited about it.
Thanks for listening to the Book Smarts Business Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show and share this episode with a friend. In the meantime, if you're interested in learning more about possibly becoming an author yourself, please visit overnightauthor.com for more information. Until next time.